Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for tuning in today as we are getting ready for the start of the big holiday festivities. And as we look at all the things we're grateful for, we probably sometimes take for granted that we have a home to go to, that we have a warm bed to sleep in, that we have a roof over our heads, that we can turn a faucet and fresh water comes out, and then we can hit a lever and dirty water goes away. I think we take some of that for granted. I know I have myself, so I'm repenting of that. And so we are. We should be more grateful. And my guest coming up in this hour, Richard Barr, has written a book called Those People, and that's the true character of the homeless. I think we all probably have some ideas about who homeless people are. I think we raced the fact that we think that they're alcoholics or addicts or people who are mentally ill or lazy or criminals. And yes, that is a description of some of them. But there's also a lot of other people in the homeless community that we would not normally think of as being homeless. How did you end up homeless? And as we are so grateful at this time of year, as we're taking kind of an inventory of all that we're thankful for, I want to engage with you today in this hour. I want to hear from you as well about your gratitude for your home and your family. And I'm going to talk to Richard about his ministry with homeless people. And his website is thresholdtonewlife.org. Threshold, then the number 2, newlife.org. It's an organization that helps the homeless or people who have recently experienced homelessness to try to obtain and keep their housing. And we're going to talk about some of the myths behind homelessness. And also, we've got 3 copies of his book we are going to give away to 3 lucky people. So if you want to enter into the drawing to be one of the 3 lucky winners, you go to myfaithradio.com and send me an email that says those people. And then make sure you give us your name and address. And if you win, we'll know where to send it. Now, you know I love scripture on this show, and I'd want to have as many people as possible to read scripture. And then the other day, I was talking to my friend Michael Pierce Donnelly, and I had my phone out, and I had my record button, and he was sitting in front of his piano. And I said, Michael, how about you? Do you know any verses that you could just sing? Have you memorized a verse you could sing? And he didn't even say yes or no. He just went into it. And it's Hebrews 12:1. Here it is.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run, run, run. Run with perseverance. Let us run, run, run. The race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And let us run, run, run. The race marked out for us. Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Let us run, run, run. The race marked out for us. Yeehaw!
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening, praying, and supporting Faith Radio. It's the generosity side of you that makes this ministry possible, now approaching its 70th year. The great Bible preaching, teaching, and my favorite, interactive talk, comes your way each day because of listeners partnering with us consistently month in and month out. So thanks for your faithfulness. You can make a gift anytime online at myfaithradio.com. Thank you.
Psalm 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. During the week of Thanksgiving, the Faith Radio prayer team is focusing on gratitude. We're thankful for many blessings, and may we not forget all the benefits of the Lord in our lives today and in the days to come. We'd love to have you join us in thanking God for his blessings and praying for the needs in our communities and nation. Sign up for the Faith Radio prayer team today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Welcome back. Have you wiped that smile off your face yet? Have you ever heard Hebrews 12:1 that way? I didn't think so. Richard Barr is in my studio, which makes me very happy. He co-founded the social ministry organization Threshold to New Life with his wife, Carla. Their organization wants to help those who are homeless or have recently experienced homelessness to obtain or keep their housing. He's really involved here in the serving the homeless in Minneapolis, serving meals. It goes on and on and on, the way he puts it out there. So, Richard, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Bill.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the myths of homelessness, just to get the conversation started.
Well, you mentioned some of them to begin with. Categorize. First of all, when we place a characteristic on an entire group of people, I mean, right there, we're kind of guilty as charged.
Mm-hmm.
And common questions people ask me are, don't they just need a job? Are they lazy? Isn't there a lot of mental illness, chemical dependency? And you hit it on the head earlier. I mean, absolutely, those circumstances are pervasive within the homeless community, but not everybody struggles with that. And I guess I found in my experience, I've been doing this for 10 years now, is that everybody's got a story. And homelessness is complicated, and it's a lot bigger than just an economic problem.
Mm-hmm. I read your book, and it's loaded with so many stories and stuff that I never even thought about. But once I put it in context, I start to go, oh my. Like, for example, when you're homeless and you get sick. I mean, I'm a big enough baby. If I get a cold or the flu and I'm in bed for 4 days, I'm whining and miserable, but I got a warm bed to sleep in, and I have people that offer to bring me chicken soup. So, that's worth something.
Yeah. In the homeless community, one of the things you need to be able to get well typically is good rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a communal bunk area where there are over 100 other men or women sleeping, you can just imagine how difficult it is to get people to settle down, the quality or lack of quality of rest that one would get. So people will, begin maybe with a small sniffle or a cold. They can end up easily getting pneumonia and then end up going to an emergency room or something like that,
mm-hmm.
probably, to be treated.
The environment has to be just ripe for problems, health problems, just to be around so many people who are coughing and wheezing and in such close proximity, and you're touching everything, right?
Yeah, in the shelters, I mean, sanitation it's a real challenge, and I really do commend the folks that work tirelessly in our shelter system to do the very best they can with what they have to work with. But typically, the staffs are small. They've got a lot of work to do. There's not a lot of time to turn things over, and it can be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the weekly breakfast that goes on that you are involved with. And, is it 5 days a week you serve breakfast?
No, every day.
Okay.
365.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit. So you serve breakfast every day?
Yes, sir. We do.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm and then it starts at 4:30 in the morning, and you go, and you find people to be incredibly appreciative.
Well, first of all, just to mention the volunteers that we have, we've got over 40 volunteers that staff this. And, my friend Dave was really inspired by the Holy Spirit back about 10 or 11 years ago to begin to do this and started doing it alone. And then there were others of us that came around him. And so now he's the founder. He's the key guy. And
mm-hmm.
he handles all the logistics. And I kind of try to manage all the volunteers, if there is such a thing as managing volunteers. But we've got, just think about the dedication that it takes for, so today's Wednesday, right? So it would have been Chris's crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's a captain for the day. And she's got a crew of people that show up at 4:30 in the morning, and they cook and prep for an hour. Mm-hmm. And then they serve for an hour, and they take half an hour, and they clean up, and they're all out of there by 7. And they do that every single Wednesday. And tomorrow, it's Rick. Rick is the captain for Thursday. So mm-hmm. Thursday is his day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a team of people that do the same thing.
That's fantastic. So, blessing to all you volunteers suiting up and showing up. I want to get back to some of the ways in which we can understand what goes on with people that are living with homelessness. Things that we don't think of, but they usually have foot problems, don't they? Just by the simple fact that they're kind of on their feet a lot.
Yeah, that's your primary mode of transportation.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, and you can get fallen arches. You can get
plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis, yeah, big word. I've seen funguses or fungi, I guess
fungi,
would be the
yeah.
plural term,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be pretty gross. So that's how I began giving away socks. And it wasn't my brainchild. It was
yeah.
really given to me by homeless people is that, hey, man, you know, we could use socks. So I started buying socks, you know, first by the dozens and then by the hundreds. And
how many pairs of socks have you given away?
I can only estimate. My
yeah.
my best guess is about 25,000.
Okay.
And it's a great gateway to a relationship. I've got so many friends, so many people that I know now that began by looking them in the eye and handing them a pair of socks. And, you know, you can look in somebody's eyes and you pick up the vibe about how somebody's doing. And I'll do that. And I'll be able to have a deeper, further conversation. I'll chase somebody down. But I'll always do my best to try to learn their name,
mm-hmm.
which is very difficult,
yeah.
of course. But
yeah, I'm talking to Richard Barr, and he's written a book called Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. If you have a story of your encounter with a homeless person, we would love to hear it, and you can share it with our listeners. Or if you have a question about encountering people who are homeless, Richard's the guy to ask. There's no question about that. A couple of ways to do it. You can call or text if you want to come on the program live. You can call if you want to text. The same number for both, 877-933-2484. Richard also has brought 3 copies of his book, and he said you can give these out to a lucky person. So if you want to get in on the drawing, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and just put in those people in the subject line, and then make sure when you put your name that you also add your address so we know where to send it. And I would be delighted to hear from you today. And if you have a spirit of extra Thanksgiving on this day, that you've got a home that you can be in tonight. And maybe you have been homeless. Maybe you suffered homelessness and now you're not. And you're willing to call and say, here's what happened while I was homeless. And now I've got a home, and share that story with us. It's 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back in just a minute. Back to the show. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Our hearts are full of gratitude. They are that every day because we know who we serve, which is Jesus. But we're talking today with Richard Barr. He's in studio. He's written a book called Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. And I've certainly invited all listeners to call with a story. Have you encountered a homeless person? How did it go? What happened? What did you do? How did they respond? We'd love to hear your stories and your experiences. And if you have a question about how do I encounter homeless or better serve them, Richard would be the right person to call. So the lines are open, 877-933-2484. That works as a call-in number or a text number. Or if you're super old-fashioned, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, with a question, and I can answer it. Richard can answer it. So, Richard, let's talk about some great stories that end well and some stories that don't end so well.
Yeah, so there's a couple guy and a gal that had really struggled for a long time, would come to our breakfast regularly, and he really wanted to become a veterinarian assistant, is really what was on his heart. He loved animals, mm-hmm. and he volunteered at an animal shelter at one point, and he ended up getting into a school to become a veterinary assistant, and then he encountered the need to euthanize animals, and mm-hmm. it just broke his heart. So he's like, yeah, I just can't do that. I can't do that anymore. So he last that I've tracked with him, he went back to just volunteering at an animal shelter. But the amazing thing was that when they came back, I hadn't seen them for a number of months. And when we no longer encounter people, you know, we always hope for the best, of course, but you really don't know what's going on. And they showed up and they were cleaned up, spit and polished. They looked great, smiles in their faces. And they literally came back and talked to me and said, you know, we're doing great, and we just wanted to come back and enjoy the breakfast and to say thanks for what everybody he does here.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And then you have a great, great story in the book of a person who, and this is not atypical, you may hear some grandiose stories from people, and you wonder, is this true or is it not true, of someone who needed some money to get their application back at college.
Oh, the college fellow, right.
Because I'm a really bright student, and I got to get my college application, so I need some money for that.
Yeah, so the antenna went up there, of course. So this was a
young man
that met me at breakfast, and he was a naturalized citizen of the United States, said that he needed $25 to reapply at mm-hmm. the school that he had been attending earlier, and it mm-hmm. wasn't a local school. So we got some further information, we checked it out, and actually we called the school. He signed a release, and we called the school, and sure enough, he had a full-ride scholarship waiting for him if he could return, and he had to reapply and complete schooling.
For $25?
$25 application
yeah.
fee. It blew me away. So we said, why not? So we paid the school, of course, mm-hmm. directly. We didn't give him the money. And he did the work. He reapplied at school, and he got a job cleaning hotel rooms to raise money for the airplane flight, and he flew out there. And I kind of forgot about him, and it was probably a year and a half or 2 years later, I get this text with him in a cap and gown graduating from college.
Yeah. So when we hear stories like that, and we often hear grandiose stories that try to tug on your heartstrings, and you go, well, I can't say no to that. You know, here's me holding an empty gas can, and I got to get gas so I can get in the car to drive to Des Moines to go to my, you know, so-and-so's funeral. So all I need is $15 for gas.
So this would be a real situation? Like somebody's going to stand there with a gas can and panhandle? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's happened to me before.
Really? I haven't seen that one. That's a
yeah.
That's a pretty good angle.
And it was a brand new gas can, too.
Okay.
I said, can I see that? And I smelled it, and there had never been gas in it. It
smelled like plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do we do with that? So,
You know, a lot of people, they're playing a con game. And they're just playing on your emotions to the point where you hear a story so spectacular, you go, I can't say no to that.
Yeah, so one of the fundamental questions it kind of comes down to is it boils down to the cash question. Do I provide cash to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
When we're providing goods or services or a meal, I think that's a little simpler exchange. There's one of the ministries that I serve in that serves Project 68 serves dinner under the bridge west of Dunwoody College on Tuesday night. So we prohibit any of the volunteers from giving cash, period,
mm-hmm.
period. And cash, one of the things we don't want to do is we want to build relationships with people. And I know I'm talking a longer term thing. You're talking about a panhandler. But we want to build relationships with people. And the cash interferes with that. It really does because it becomes about the cash. We could talk about panhandling anytime you want, because I know that's one of the common questions. Is that where you want to go with this?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wrote an appendix in the book about panhandling because as I talk to groups and people ask me, it's probably the most common question is, how do I deal with panhandlers? And my typical response is that if you are somebody that's willing to listen to a program like this, if you're somebody that's willing to pick up this book, if you're willing to be that person to ask that question, God's already placed it on your heart to do something for those people. So it really becomes that you haven't been able to reconcile what is okay by my account. And how am I not going to do harm to that person? How am I not going to be conned by that person?
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is really is that then you have a, if that's what your heart is, you really have a duty to make a plan. You know, if you're somebody that encounters panhandlers from time to time, enough where you have that question, then you should make a plan. And there's plenty of other alternatives other than cash. And you can come down on the side of cash, too. I mean, I wouldn't tell anybody not to necessarily. I mean, it's, I think it's a very personal decision. I mean, I know I use, I give out a lot of socks. I give out a lot of gift cards. I know people that carry food items like, you know, granola bars or snack bars or things like that that are, you know, well-preserved that somebody could keep for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Bottles of water in the summertime. You know, there's a lot of alternatives to that.
I love the fact that you say just have a plan, because when you get surprised by someone panhandling, if you have a plan, you can just respond to your plan.
Yeah.
Your training kicks in. Oh, I've got this, and this, and I can make sure I look the person in the eye. I can ask for their name. I can there's a number of things you can do. In addition to having things on your, you know, if you've got a gift card for a Subway, or you're willing to give a couple of dollars or even anything, they're so appreciative, aren't they?
Yeah, you can. I mean, that sets you up to be able to really have a very humane and kind exchange with that person. Now, you know, one of the other questions is that, well, what if the panhandler is an antagonistic person or unruly or rude or... Well, you know what? In the rest of my life, I choose not to deal with those kinds of people either.
You might be too if you slept outside last
night. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, right. Yeah. I find it widely that a majority of the panhandlers that I encounter are people that have a need and are very kind and gracious when they receive something.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Richard Barr. He's in my studio. He's written a book called Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. We have three copies of the book to give away. We've gotten some nice calls coming in from listeners. I will share some of those after the break. 877-933-2484 if you'd like to come on the program and ask a question or share a story of an encounter you had with a homeless person, what you did, how they responded, and what blessing you were to that person. 877-933-2484 also works as a text, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh, I can see my baby tonight.
Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. If you're just climbing into the vehicle, aren't you grateful you have a vehicle? Or if you're getting on public transportation and listening to the radio on the app, isn't it amazing that you've got certain abilities And I'm calling them comforts and luxuries, because we're talking to Richard Barr today about homelessness. And the homeless, they're usually walking around. Everything they have is on their back.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the dead giveaways, I think, for homeless people, especially in the urban areas particularly, is that, you know, you see somebody that might be a little bit disheveled, which I think any of us would be if we've been living either outside and sleeping on the light rail or sleeping in a shelter for last number of weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
And you're forced to carry everything you own.
Yeah. Yeah. A listener named Heidi, she wrote and she said, "Hey, I was approached by two people at 5:30 a.m. in the work parking lot. That'd be a little unnerving, wouldn't it?
Indeed, yeah.
I would imagine it was dark. And she said they needed money. I told them I was a Christian and would love to pray with them. They were excited about that and grabbed my hands to pray.
Cool.
We prayed, and they exclaimed, "Amen," with gusto. I gave them what cash I had and my Gatorade bottle. And as I walked to my job, the woman asked my name, and she said she would be praying for me that day. I was so blessed to have the tables turned on what I thought was going to happen. I was the one that was the most blessed.
She experienced what I have experienced many times, is that when we don't need God, when we're so blessed with so many things in our lives, it can be easy to forget the source of those blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And when those things are taken away from you, oftentimes it seems like you turn one of two directions. You either turn towards God or towards bitterness. And there's a great, great number of people that are struggling either on the verge of poverty or in the homeless community that have extremely robust faiths.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about some of those stories in the book, you know, kind of impromptu Bible studies and things that I've ended up having in shelters that I didn't have any plan to do. But before I know it, you know, we're cracking open and we're reading the Bible and we're holding hands and we're praying.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got an anonymous person that says, "I work at a church and we get homeless people often who come in looking for help. Please tell me how I can best assist the pastor who deals with benevolence in creating an effective plan to help rather than perpetuate an entitlement mentality."
Yeah, that's a big question. We struggle with that same thing with our ministry with Threshold to New Life. I can tell you what we do when we receive our cases is it's not that often that we fulfill the complete need 100%. More often than not, we have what we call a matching grant program. So if the need is $500, we'll say, okay, we'll provide $250. We'll pay the vendor, whether it's a landlord or utility, whatever, we pay them directly, and our money goes in last. And that, and we'll also, to the best of our ability, provide other means, other places that they can look for, whether it's local churches or like the 30-Day Foundation, McSterling's thing, that they can also work to try to get funds, sometimes a borrow it from family and friends. But we would rather work to try to restore people and engage them in solving their own problems rather than just jumping in and saving them and solving their problems.
Mm-hmm. So that that's very encouraging to have a plan. Once again, it seems like planning is the thing to do, isn't it?
Well, it's how do you answer that question?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, you know, and you learn as you go. I mean, this is, we're dealing with people. I mean, we make mistakes. It's very imperfect. We try to err on the side of grace, and there's any number of times where mm-hmm. we deal with people and we just go, man, did we make the right call? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Another caller named Debbie said that she was working at a community support program, and they were doing some decorating, and they made a scarecrow sitting on a bench in the entryway. She used an old pair of her boots, and then she went out and bought a new pair for herself. And she said, "I came back a few days later and noticed the boots were gone." And then a few days later, there was a really old pair of slippers in the place. And you sometimes just lose sight of how needy people are around you. And you go, "I'm decorating a little scarecrow, and the boots that are part of the decoration need to be used by somebody."
Yeah, that somebody saw value in them and that they
needed
them.
Someone saw value.
Yeah. And I think particularly for those of us that for whatever the reason, we've been blessed with homes, jobs, cars, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We can fall pretty numb to those things.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some callers. It'd be fun to hear from Andrew's calling in. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call, and thanks for the topic today. I have just three quick things that I try and do when I see somebody on the street, and one is make eye contact, two is to shake their hand, and three is to ask them their name. And I had a, just recently, a couple weeks ago, a guy met me in the parking lot and asked for some food or money for food. And I'd just gotten out of church, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, I've got some extra time on my hands, so why don't we go grab lunch and we'll sit and chat. And so we went back into the Cub and had lunch. He's a Christian, but he's got a place, but sounds like the food might be short, you know, hard to come by and stuff like that. So I gave him my number, and I just said, you know, give me a call if you need something. You know, we can maybe meet up sometime. He's Christian. And so he called yesterday and then today, and I was asking if I'd be willing to stop by and just drop some stuff off for him. And I think I heard the Holy Spirit speak and just say, you know, this is a chance for you not to just, you know, drop and go, but actually drop and hang out for a while. And so that's kind of my plan tomorrow, to be able to stop and sit and chat with him for a while, because he also doesn't really have anybody here in Minnesota. Everybody's in Texas. And so just the chance to, you know, make that difference and make that impact in somebody else's life. And I usually don't have that kind of time or that kind of opportunity. And so this was just a real blessing to have that come about in the way that it did.
That's a fantastic story, Andrew. I so appreciate you calling and sharing that. I think that God prompted you to pick up the phone and call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
hopefully it encourages somebody else to do something for somebody else.
You encourage me, Andrew.
Amen.
Amen. So have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you so much. Got another caller on the line. Karen is calling in. And Karen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. My call. I've had quite a few encounters with panhandlers and homeless people. I don't know if it's because I'm a recovered alcoholic that God bumps me into them all the time. But, you know, they are human beings. And what I do is I don't give them money. But I ask them if they're hungry, and most of the time they say yes. And I tell them, well, there's a restaurant right there. And I say, you meet me there and I'll buy you whatever you want. So, and that's what we did. We'd go there. And then one guy, one time, because it was either a McDonald's or Wendy's or something, he was like, oh yeah, I want, you know, like four of these hamburgers and a couple of fries. And I'm, you know, he started stuffing them in his pocket. Well, it was kind of funny because I thought, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I would talk with them, eye contact. I would always ask them their name, and we'd talk, you know, and I'd always ask them, can I pray for you before I go? And they always said yes, you know, and they were always grateful. And I can remember one time I was driving off by Brooklyn Park, and I saw this guy laying on the bench. And, you know, it was a busy road, and everybody was going by, and I thought maybe he was dead. So I went over there, I parked, and I went over there, and there was this little tiny guy, and I'm sure he was a meth addict or drug addict, whatever, you know, and I kind of touched him, and I said, hey, are you okay? And it was cold, too, and he looked at me, and oh, my God, he just looked so pathetic. It was so sad to see a human being laying on a bench like that. I'm sure he was drugged out. So I told him, I took him to a restaurant. I said, are you hungry? And he said, no. And I said, well, you look like you need some water or something. But anyway, we went to the restaurant, and he sat there, and I ordered him something to eat, and he ate as much as he could. But my heart went out because I hated to just leave him back on the street, you know. I think the churches should get more involved in homelessness. You know, they're always building windows in churches and bigger churches and more stools and carpeting and whatever. But, you know, I think the churches should have a whole fund set up for homeless people, because then you could bring them to the church. And one time I did that, but all the church did was pray, and I was not very happy with that, because I thought, this guy needs detox, you know. But I'm a woman, and, you know, I'm picking up men, and it's probably not a good thing to do, but I didn't feel afraid. I felt like, I don't know, I could just sense it was okay.
Hmm. You're very interesting, Karen.
The guy yelled at me, the pastor kind of yelled at me for picking him up because I was a woman. And I mean, the guy was homeless, harmless. He was homeless and harmless. And I don't recommend all women do that because I realize, you know, we live in a dangerous world. And, you know, I take my precautions. But, you know, they're human beings, you know. And, yeah, they might be a drug addict or a meth addict, but they still all need help. You know, they need help and they need prayer.
Amen. So. Amen. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, those are great stories, both of those. And I think one of the things in common is that both of you really stepped outside of your comfort zone, became inconvenienced, perhaps, to try to help love on another person. I would be very hard-pressed to recommend to a wide audience to, you know, pick people up that you don't know, take them to a restaurant. I mean, that might, I think that takes some real prayerful consideration and before you do that. But I love the stories, and both of you have done things that I've done a number of times as well myself. I think churches oftentimes, especially, I commend the churches that are in the inner city. They have been dealing with homelessness, and most of them have built programs around that. And matter of fact, they've even launched their own shelters. A lot of the shelters are the names of churches in the Twin Cities and started their own 501c3s for those. But I think for those of us, which includes me, that live in the suburbs, we're very isolated from this whole thing. Other than the occasional panhandler standing by, you know, a freeway exit, we just don't really see it very much. We're very isolated from it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break in a minute here, but a follow-up question to a previous listener was referring to her pastor, saying the pastor is very generous, but how can I help him focus on restoration rather than solving the temporary problem?
Takes work. We should contrast probably relief and restoration. I don't know if you want to do that now or if you want to take the break first.
Let's take a minute or two to talk about that.
Okay, so relief versus restoration. Relief would be jumping in immediately and solving the problem, and that's very applicable many, many times. Think about when there's hurricanes, natural disasters, people need fresh water, generators, so forth. Somebody that's sleeping outside, it's 10 below, they need a roof over their heads immediately. Restoration is really the hard, long-term work to try to restore somebody to who God really what God really intends for them to really have, and that takes more work. So, in the case of somebody coming to the church, wanting to tap the benevolent fund because they need some sort of help, somebody at that church needs to spend the time to triage that case, find out what's really going on, and it takes some experience. It's taken us some experience to be able to know what the right questions are, what the resources are. And then to walk alongside that person until that problem has been resolved.
Mm-hmm. I have Richard Barr in studio with me. He's written a book called Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. We have three copies to give away. So if you'd like to be involved in the drawing, all you do is email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and say Those People in the subject title, and then your name and address. And if you win, we'll send you a copy. How cool is that? And as we're going to break here, Richard, I've got a message that I can't wait to read to you that says, "Hello, Richard. How are you doing? This is Ava, your aunt. It's been a long time. Read your book. You've done a wonderful job writing it, and it's so great what you are doing for those people. Love listening to you on Faith Radio Show. Very interesting story. God bless over you."
That's very nice. She lives in Texas. I haven't seen her for years. Hi, Ava.
Yeah, let me finish reading the text. And, oh, by the way, that Bill guy sure is amazing. Okay, I made that part up.
Yeah, she didn't say that.
She didn't say that, but I felt like you don't know.
I think she meant that, though. Yeah.
She did mean it.
Let's
take a break. Calls are still coming in, 877-933-2484. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show. 12 minutes until the top of the hour, and we are talking to Richard Barr, the author of Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. His website, if you want to head over to it, is, let's see, threshold2newlife.org, and threshold, and then the number 2, newlife.org. And his organization is just, his passion is to help homeless or people who have recently experienced homelessness to obtain or get back into housing. And you've got a huge servant's heart, you and your wife. It's amazing.
You know, if we could plug the other website, too, there's a website for the book. It's just thosepeoplebook.org.
Okay.
And so if people are interested in what we're talking about today, they can just go.
Well, they are interested. The phones are lighting up.
Yeah, they can go to thosepeoplebook.org, yeah. And they can find where to buy the book there.
It's fantastic. All right. Now, still got some more callers coming in, but they're not quite ready yet. As we get ready to prepare our hearts and minds for Thanksgiving, I know everyone sort of rises to the surface the idea that today's the day I should try to help, or tomorrow, mm-hmm. or this weekend, which is a great sentiment. But homelessness, we need to figure out a way to have a plan when we encounter them year-round, 365.
So I would leave that as a challenge, I think, for anybody listening today, would be that, you know, emotionally we're moved to try to care for other people and love on other people during the holidays, people that we might think are less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea about how to have some sort of a plan going forward, a sustainable plan where, okay, so I work in the city, I run into panhandlers a lot. So what sorts of things am I okay with based on my values? What sorts of things am I okay with to give a panhandler? Maybe checking out a social ministry or somewhere that one can serve in, where you're serving people that you care about, are concerned for, and then building a plan to say, okay, I'm going to do this every single week. I'm going to do this every single month. You know, use this, leverage the time, you know, maybe to check out some of these things and then sustain it going forward. It's just like people going to the gym, right? Everybody goes to the gym January 1st. I mean, do this. But, well, okay, it's not like going to the gym,
right?
Because by the middle of February, everybody's gone.
But, right, that's true.
But this is a time, a natural time of renewal where we challenge ourselves and we think about things. We think about our lives going forward. That's why we begin to diet at the first of the year and we work out. Well, think about your term in terms of your serving plan, how you serve other people, worship God through service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take another call. We've got George on the line. George, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us today. George, are you Hey, George. You're pounding something in the wall.
Okay.
So, yeah, way to go. You can multitask.
Sorry
so
about that.
Talk to us and keep pounding into the wall. That's great.
I figured there's got to be one way I can get to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Here in, I guess I will just say Fargo, we have quite a few, shall we say, repeat panhandlers, and I have talked with many of them, and often have even offered them an opportunity to make some money by, you know, helping me with doing my mile-long hedge, which, Bill, I would love for you to help me with that.
I'm busy that day, but go ahead.
How do we deal with that? Someone who's just a repeat panhandler under the auspices of homelessness, basically taking advantage of the system. I struggle with that.
Yeah, great question, George.
And give me your 2 cents worth there, gentlemen.
Certainly, yeah. So I'm not crazy about that either, but I also look introspectively and think, well, so am I rendering judgment on this person? Do I know everything about that person's circumstances and why they're out there working that corner today again? In the Twin Cities here, there are common corners and common times of the day that I see the exact same people. I know them by first name, and they know me. So what I don't try to do is I don't try to enable them to continue doing what they're doing. I'll do, George, very much some of the same things you do, is I might encourage them, provide them information. There was one guy who I knew had been housed, and he came back. He had been gone for a couple months. He had a sign that said he needed money for food. And when I stopped and talked to him, I said, hey, Terry, I thought you got an apartment. He goes, oh, yeah, I did. He said, but I need money for cigarettes. And I said, well, your sign says I need money for food. I said, why don't you create a sign that says I need money for cigarettes? Because then it would be honest. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know. I'll think about it, you know. So, I mean, even that little bit, and this was somebody that I had a relationship with. It sounds like you have a bit of one with this fellow, too. I felt comfortable enough to kind of challenge him a little bit and say, hey, you know, let's think about this differently.
That's a great answer, Richard. George, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it was excellent. I appreciate it. And Bill, like I said, this spring you can come and help me trim my hedge.
Yeah, I will. I look forward to that. So let's definitely, you and I stay in touch. Okay?
Yeah. All right, when you come to Fargo and do your program.
Yeah, yeah, I will definitely do that. Kim, get my number changed. Okay. Yeah, we'll
blessings, gentlemen.
Blessings. Have a great day.
Thanks, George.
Yeah. Richard, talk a little bit about things like laundry and showering in the homeless community.
Yeah, both are very difficult. Some,
I mean, when you pass out socks, they just throw the old ones away, don't they? Or,
they do.
Or do they try to wash them?
Yeah, oftentimes I see people sitting down and changing their socks right away. Foot hygiene is a big deal. Some of the shelters, and they're not all the same, some of the shelters that we have in the Twin Cities are well-equipped to be able to provide for personal hygiene. Some are not. But then again, we have homeless people that aren't in shelters either, like the homeless encampment that we've, you know, got along Cedar. We've got people that stay outside. I supported a fellow who's a friend of mine that he lived off of a freeway overpass all winter long last year. I brought him LP tanks every couple of weeks, you know, so that he could stay warm. So you can imagine the opportunities for him to be able to get cleaned up were pretty limited.
Mm-hmm. When we think of some of the people who have served in the military that maybe because of anger issues or PTSD and some of that, and they find themselves homeless, should we ever be, you know, how nervous should we be for our own personal safety with some of the people who are a little bit extra wound up?
Yeah, I guess I never feel like I put myself in harm's way. My wife wouldn't wholly agree with that. But I guess first of all, with veterans and homelessness in the Twin Cities, there's been a big movement and an awful lot of work to house veterans. And I think that we certainly still have homeless veterans, but there's been an awful lot of work and energy around that, which I think that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But I think anybody that displays, you know, a volatile attitude, there isn't any walk of life that I would be in that I would want to entertain somebody like that, that I would invite somebody in my car that is tripping or whatever.
All right, Richard, 30 seconds left. Do you have homeless people coming to your home for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
I do. Yeah, I've got two. I'm super excited.
Really?
This is one of the things that we look forward to both at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We've got a blended family, and so we've always learned to do holidays a little bit differently.
Yeah.
To try to free up space for the other sides, so we typically are pretty available on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So oftentimes we spend it with some of our homeless friends.
And do you open the home up to let them take a shower if they need to and all that?
Are you coming over?
I'm not. No.
Maybe
I got to trim
George's
a hedge in Fargo. Yeah.
Well, you might be dirty after that.
Yeah, I might need a shower after
that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes. I mean, we talked about that earlier that, yeah, there's one of the fellows I know is going to want to grab a shower. He's been over there before, and that's great.
Yeah, cool. All right, Richard, thanks for coming into the studio and talking about Those People, a book that's the title of it, Those People, The True Character of the Homeless. I have three copies to give away if you want to get involved in the drawing. To win one of the copies, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Just type in Those People in the subject line and then make sure you give your name and address. And if you win, I'll send you a copy. So that wraps up the show for the day. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.